Good morning and welcome to the KGNC Golden Spread Agribusiness News Hour. On Mondays, we talk wheat, and we're very lucky. We got economist Justin Benavidez joining us today. Always a tons of questions about where the economy sits with Texas wheat and what we're facing up to. We've had a lot of obstacles. I think, Justin, you would agree with me. The word for 2022 would probably be input cost.
That's accurate. Yeah, watching input costs over the last 6 months has been a wild ride.
Yeah, it has been. Now let's dig in a little bit. Let's do an update on where the market is right now and what we're seeing, what's going on. I saw this morning when I read the markets, the opening markets, that the numbers were just kind of, I hadn't seen those in a while in wheat.
That's right. So our July delivery prices on the board are sitting in the $11 to $12 range, and they bounce back and forth through the days and through the weeks, but somewhere in between $11 and $12, which is significantly higher than we've seen historically, definitely something that is beneficial for our wheat producers. And a lot of that is going to be a function of the Russian invasion of Ukraine, obviously. Both large wheat producers and the sanctions on Russia and an inability to get wheat out of Ukraine, we're going to see those prices probably remain throughout the rest of the year and into next year.
And that's a great reason why we wanted you on the show this week. Is we've heard of the between Russia and Ukraine, it's almost the world's breadbasket. A lot of wheat grown in Ukraine, a lot of petroleum products, natural gas products that are used for fertilizers and different things come from that region of the country. And we were wondering, could Texas wheat or the wheat from the United States come in and fill in that gap worldwide of what we're losing in product in that war-torn country? Is even with the drought issues we have in Texas, is there a chance that this could help the profitability of this year's crop for wheat producers?
Oh, absolutely. You know, prior to the invasion, we were looking at wheat prices around $8 or $8.50, maybe down to $7.50 before. It was already a strong price level for July delivery wheat. But this just increases that margin potential. Now, again, as we mentioned early on, input prices are still pretty high, and they've gone up since the invasion. So some of the gains we would have hoped to have seen are being squeezed by those increasing input prices. But I do think that we're still going to see, on irrigated wheat at least, a lot of profit potential. Now, as you mentioned, they're struggling with significant drought there on the high plains. We are going to have to pay for the losses on that dry land wheat with our earnings on irrigated wheat. So tempered expectations a little bit. But definitely a positive story, particularly on irrigated wheat.
Well, that's a really good thing to hear, Justin. That was a big concern. And we touched a little bit on input costs and the prices of things like that. What are some of those factors? I know we talked about fertilizer. Is the price of that's going up? What about transportation?
Absolutely. So, you know, you look at different contracts like diesel and gasoline. Everything has skyrocketed since the Russian invasion of Ukraine. It was already very expensive, both diesel and gasoline. But energy in general has been high and has gotten more expensive. And so the ability to get wheat from where it's grown to where it needs to be processed and then further to be consumed is going to be more expensive. And it's going to be that way with pretty much all of our commodities and all of our goods. And so that's where we're seeing some of that inflationary activity that doesn't just impact agriculture, but all of our other industries as well. So fuel and energy in particular are inputs we want to watch because they're involved in the manufacture of other inputs. So as fuel and energy go, you know, a lot of other inputs will follow. And for wheat and other crops, it's particularly important because natural gas is a big input in fertilizer, and we source a lot of raw goods for fertilizer out of Eastern Europe. So kind of a double whammy there on inputs for crops.
Yeah, that's you said something that's really important, how one industry or how some things kind of affect everything down the chain. You look at the wheat cost, if the cost of wheat or the cost of corn goes up, that means the packing house, the rancher, his costs are going to go up because it's costing him more to feed his animals. And it just goes down the chain, and it's all kind of connected in the long run.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, Justin, let's peer into the future a little bit. What do you see coming in the next couple of months when we look at the market and the price of Texas wheat?
So whenever we look at contracts for wheat, or really contracts for grain commodities in general, we see a lot of seasonal patterns, and prices for wheat usually rise toward delivery. So we're kind of in that neighborhood of where we expect prices to be at their peak. The global wheat market is very interconnected. A lot of people grow a lot of wheat in a lot of different places, and so changes in one area can certainly affect the entire global wheat market. But until we see another really big structural adjustment, so an unexpected change, I think we can expect to see support for wheat prices where they are through next year. Now, a big, I think, factor is going to be how long does the Russian-Ukraine conflict last? You know, we've missed the summer. We're probably going to miss the majority of summer plantings for Ukraine, which means a big gap in the grain complex for all grains. And if we get around to next year and look like we're going to miss another planting season, then we'll definitely see a structural adjustment there, if nothing wild happens between now and then. And the way the last few years have gone, I don't want to say that there's no potential for, another black swan event, because they seem to be popping up left and right.
Yeah. Yeah, that really is the key. It's just out of nowhere, and from day to day, it changes very drastically. Mm-hmm. We talk about the future of wheat, the cost, the input costs have been a big subject. We're getting ready to run up to a new farm bill. We're going to look at a farm bill, some things. Some of the things they'll look at is some trade policies, some relief for some farmers who've been devastated by drought and other issues. As an economist, are you a part of laying that groundwork for those wheat producers about what they might see or what they might need moving forward in that farm bill?
No, we're certainly ready to answer questions and provide feedback as economists and what we think federal programs can provide. And we also take a lot of input. You know, if there is a need out there in the marketplace that we're not addressing, that there is a role for the federal government to solve through the Farm Bill, we're certainly happy to take that feedback. A lot of ideas for these kinds of programs, or at least ideas on where there needs to be improvement in the agricultural economy, come from our producers. And then we're certainly happy to apply that lens of economics and financials to it.
Yeah, always a big key to the success, and that's what Texas Wheat does, and other groups like the Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Office, is really a partner with that producer to make sure that they are finding the right seed, finding the right methods to grow, the right pesticides, fertilizers, even marketing, and also always how to look at the market and project into the future. And I think that's a very important thing. There's so many factors that go into a producer raising a crop, and a lot of those factors are things they have no control of from the get-go, right?
That's exactly right.
Yeah. And like I say, moving forward, the Russian-Ukraine conflict will weigh heavy. If it's 6 months, if we're at the same place in another year, what would you see? Let's say we're still in this. Is that a big chance for us to move into the world economy with Texas wheat across the world and become a bigger, open up more ports of access for us?
I think so. You know, the way to think about it is you really trade with your neighbors. Global trade is conducted among people close to each other, and a lot of that's because of transportation costs, because of relationships between countries. But there's that deficit in Eastern Europe and in Africa and in a lot of poor countries because of the lack of wheat coming out of Ukraine. And so what we could really see is a structural change in patterns of the wheat trade. So even though we may not be sending additional wheat directly to countries who used to buy from Ukraine, their need for wheat is still there. And so if they're buying from a new country rather than Ukraine. That country has left to sell to their traditional trading partners, and so we may in turn supply that deficit. So whether or not we're sending directly to countries affected by the Russian-Ukraine conflict, we will certainly see an opportunity to grow our export market as a function of structural change in trade patterns.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Being working with the economy, the big buzzword is inflation. We're going through a period, some of the highest inflationary prices we've seen in decades. How is that affecting producers?
I think it's affecting producers the same way it's affecting, you know, the remainder of the economy. A lot of the inflationary pressure we're seeing has an impact on ag and also comes from some of the struggles we're facing, you know, food price inflation. Some of that is because we're facing challenges in the ag world globally, and not in small part because of the Russian-Ukraine conflict. A bunch of other factors are contributing to food price inflation, but, you know, not only do we suffer the effects of inflation in the ag economy, sometimes that increase in food prices to the consumer is born on there down the road, and farmers don't always necessarily see the benefit of those increased prices just because of the marketing dollar share that goes to shipping and goes to processing and all that kind of stuff. So in certain ways, producers can't even see a doubling up of the impact of inflation compared to a normal consumer.
Wow. That's interesting to know that they can get a double whammy from that. From that inflation. Do you think with the move just recently to raise interest rates across the board, is that a hurt or a help to producers?
That's a really good question. It's not really one that's easy to answer. There's going to be balancing effects from that move. You know, it will slow down inflationary pressure as investment trends downward. But there's also the fact that if you were someone considering investing in new equipment or in growing your enterprise, now interest rates are higher for you. And so we may see inflation go down, but it's going to be at the expense of some investment, which may also impact farmers. So it kind of depends on where you're situated in your farming enterprise. And I don't mean that geographically, but I mean that more in a way of how is your business structured and what were your near-term plans.
Yeah, a little future planning and which way you're going to go, if you're going to grow or stay where you're at right now, and think about growth at a later time period. That has a big impact on expanding operations. So, yeah, that's a great pressure, and it can be one way or the other. Well, Justin, we really appreciate your time. You're out on the road traveling. Are you trying to make it home for the holiday?
I'm on my way the other direction, unfortunately, but hope to get back in time for Mother's Day on Sunday.
That's a good deal. Well, Justin, as always, we really appreciate whenever we get a chance to talk to you and to look at the numbers, the financial side of what our producers are facing. And a couple of weeks ago, the Texas Farm Bureau had a survey out that in America, 50 to 60% of people, even though they may not live in an ag community, they are affected by ag prices every day. It's not just a farmer rancher thing. It's a human nature thing in our economy, especially around here. The Texas wheat producers are also having their National Association of Wheat Growers Farm Bill survey. Go to their website, texaswheat.org, participate in that. Let them know what you need, what's important to you in the upcoming farm bill, and you can find out all the information right there on texaswheat.org. Justin, once again, thank you for your time today. Safe travels. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you real soon.